Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again on Circles of Change, and I know it's Saturday, but I'm actually making believe it's Tuesday because I've got my bright red patent leather Italian shoes on to welcome our next guest, who is founder of the Red Shoe Movement. So welcome, Mariella Daba. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you? So nice to be with you on the show.
You bet. I'm kicking. Let me tell you, these shoes are some of my favorite. So let me explain why the metaphor. Mariella was born in Argentina, and she's an award-winning, best-selling author, thought leader, corporate consultant, and media contributor on issues of education, career development, and empowerment with a focus on Latinos. She's a speaker and corporate trainer as well, who's really inspired diverse audiences to take the steps needed to fulfill their dreams. A few years ago, she created Latinos in College, a nonprofit organization to help Latino students in the U.S. find everything they need to succeed in college. And then in last year, after the publication of the Spanish language version of her book, which we now have here in English, it's called Find Your Inner Red Shoes, Step Into Your Own Style of Success, she launched the Red Shoe Movement with the goal of increasing female representation at the highest levels of decisions in all types of organizations. So aside from publishing 6 books of nonfiction, Mariella is also a fiction writer whose stories have been published in literary magazines and online. So quite a cornucopia of activities in your suite. Tell us about the idea first, Mariella, about the Red Shoe Movement.
Well, when the book came out, and if you have a copy, you see that it has a pair of red stilettos on the cover.
You bet.
The book was, it's all about helping women identify what I call your inner red shoe, their knowledge, their aspirations, what makes them different, what they bring to the table, what do they want to do with their careers, above and beyond what others want for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a journey trying to get to that point. And I wanted the message to be not just on the book, but to have a movement around it. And then, that's when I launched the Red Shoe Movement, which is, women empowerment platform that it's fueled by a global grassroots movement at this point, and we offer professional development and leadership development programs for companies.
That's right, and the whole idea is that ladies to get your red shoes on every Tuesday, if I recall correctly.
Though. Correct, and so the idea is that we coined this this concept of wearing red shoes to work
mm-hmm.
every Tuesday to show your support for the advancement of other women.
That's the idea, is that it's not just our own statement about ourselves, but it's really the community to support.
Absolutely. And it's the Red Shoe Movement, women supporting women for career success. That's the motto. And I was going to say that men wear red socks or red ties
right.
in support of the women.
I love it. Absolutely. My husband's got quite a collection of red bow ties, as a matter of fact.
Oh, how cool is that?
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Well, your book, Mariella, congratulations. Find Your Inner Red Shoes. It came out relatively recently here in the English version. But take us back on the journey of actually writing the book. What prompted you to do this?
Well, for years I've worked in corporations with all sorts of professionals, and particularly did work with women groups, and also online I was the coach of 2 different women's platforms at different points, and I realized that there were topics that were best addressed if we were talking amongst ourselves, without a male audience listening in.
Mm.
And also because I think there are certain issues that affect women more than men. So I wanted to have a conversation with my gender mates. I had previously published The Latino Advantage in the Workplace, which is a book for both genders. And I published books for education, which is for, you know, both for the students and for the parents. So this was a journey about writing about women from a woman, and it was quite different because, you know, I coming from me being a woman, it was quite a different experience than writing all my other books.
I bet it was. And I think the other piece of it is you are so wonderfully transparent in your book of telling your own story, because, you know, so many of us are really influenced by those earliest role models we have, which are our parents and our siblings. So you might want to share with us some of that story of the role of your parents in your own Latino upbringing.
Sure. And I was born in Argentina. And what the first part of the book deals with is what the term predeterminations in a psychoanalytic context, not religious, where you are affected by decisions made within your family, within your cultural group, way before you were even born. So you're born in a certain family, in a certain socioeconomic place, in a certain country, and you're immediately going to have put on you certain expectations and things that you did not make a decision on those things. So, for example, I was born in a professional family. My dad is already second-generation surgeon, and very paternalistic, very, very typical macho family, where my mom also, she was a teacher and had almost her degree in psychology when my brother was born, and then she quit college. And so when my brother was born, it was known that he was going to be a doctor before he was even born. And when I was born, the second child, it was known that I was going to be a professional because that's what was expected. But it didn't matter what I studied, because what was also expected is that I was going to get married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also as you grow up, it's not just what you are born into, but also all those messages, whether they are verbal or nonverbal, and they're conscious or subconscious, that you actually breathe as you're growing up.
Sure.
And seeing, you know, my dad making most of the decisions in the household in terms of big ticket items, my mom only left for to decide on what the grocery list was going to be, I decided, you know, this is not the kind of life that I want. I want a life where I can make my decisions. I don't really want to get married and have children. I'll get married, but I'm not really interested in having children. I want a career. And I felt, you know, the best way to get around it was to travel 5,000 miles and immigrate to New York to do that. Mm-hmm. So I try to run away from those predeterminations. And they always come back to hunt you if you don't deal with them.
Yeah, that's really true. And you know that whole thing about generational differences as well. It's not to say we want to discount our upbringing, because for all the things that we might say aren't serving us well, we know there's 500 plus that are serving us well, right? The work ethic that both of your parents gave you, just like mine gave me. I recently was speaking with a couple, and they mentioned how their daughter is wrapping up her PhD at Barnard in New York, and she's quite a poet and very gifted, and thinking about what's next, she would like to enter academia. And her grandmother, well-intentioned, said, oh, you don't want to do that. Just forget the PhD. Go become a receptionist at a law office, buy red lipstick, and wear a short skirt.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. And
2013?
This is 2013. And by the way, she has four children, but it's all boys that are all tremendously successful entrepreneurs. So, yeah, we all just have to kind of watch that messaging. And whether it's what comes from the spoken word, like you said, but the marketing, the influence of society and the like.
And, you know, you bring a great topic, because when I talk about predeterminations, they're not all bad things.
Correct. That's right.
What I mean is there are a whole bunch of things that have been decided for you without you taking any part. If you're aware of them, whether they are positive or negative, it doesn't matter. When you are aware of them, you can change those that are not working for you. So, you know, among the predeterminations that I got was that I could achieve anything that I set myself to. And being extremely persistent was a given, that you had to persist. And those are very good traits that I take advantage of every day. What I think happens is that, let me fast forward to 2011, when I was finishing the book in Spanish, and my publisher, Penguin, which is one of the largest publishers in the world, is sending me some examples of the covers that they're designing for my book. And I wanted to die, because those covers were not powerful and did not reflect the content at all. So there came my predeterminations to be my ghosts again.
Right.
And my agent is also a man. My publisher is a man. And they were both, they gave me, when I said I don't like them, they gave me a second and third round of covers. But it came to a point where my agent said, look, you know what? This is Penguin. They publish thousands of covers a year. So just pick one and go with it. And I was just about to do that, because one of the things I learned growing up is that men are the ones who know better for you, and who the ones who make the final decision.
There you go.
And something rang inside me, and I said, no, come on, this is the book to break away from that.
Right.
So I got online, and I started thinking, what symbol, what icon I felt most women could relate to as transmitting this idea of power with femininity, power with your own style, without having to copy or imitate anybody else. And that's where the red stilettos came
Absolutely.
Up, because I think it's a language we all understand. You put on a pair of red shoes, and they don't have to be high heels, but you feel powerful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, it's funny you should mention this, because that's one of the first things I coach many of my clients who are about to go into a contentious meeting or a special interview, is I say, just tell me what shoes you've picked out. And they're like, what? I said, absolutely. This is about how you walk into the meeting and make a stand. And that goes for men and women. And mm-hmm. so when I see you guys with this maybe $1,000 suit, but a beat up pair of hush puppies, it doesn't work. Go get your Cole Haans, da-da-da-da-da. And so they laugh. You know, back to your whole comment about predetermination. I'm the oldest daughter. I have three brothers. You know, I didn't know until years after I went to engineering school that not everybody learned to roof the house with Dad when something needed to be fixed. I mean, you didn't know. And in fact, I didn't even know you hired people to do things like that, let alone that the girls didn't get involved in it. And you know, the other piece of it is that my brothers never knew that the guys didn't do the dishes or cook, which, of course, their wives to this day thank my parents for gifting their husbands those traits as well. So being able to make choices, that's what we're all about. And I think, again, your book, Find Your Inner Red Shoes, for our listeners who may have just tuned in, we're speaking with Mariella Daba about her book. Mariella, one of the areas you really go into richly in this book is this whole topic of negotiation, which, whether it be negotiating with inside my own head or with those around me to get what I really deserve and what I want. Let's talk about that subject and how you came to understand negotiation being such a differentiator, particularly for women.
Well, all the statistics are out there, all the studies are out there regarding how women don't negotiate for themselves, and they don't negotiate often enough throughout their careers. So by not negotiating even the first salary offer you get right after college, you're immediately creating a salary gap, because most men negotiate. But even when women negotiate that first salary, they also negotiate less than they deserve. Mm. And that gap also survives throughout their whole careers, because you know that, you know, your next salary is based on your previous salary
mm-hmm.
most of the time. So I wanted to make it like a separate chapter with very clear parameters, very clear thoughts in terms of how can we change that for ourselves, and where that does that come from, most likely? And like we were talking a minute ago, being raised in a household where you don't negotiate as a woman, you are going to trust that somebody is going to negotiate for you. As you grow up, if you don't really learn that skill, it just doesn't come naturally to you. And I'll give you an example. One of a young woman who is in my part of my platform, Red Shoe Movement, very smart, incredibly smart. She has a very key position in our organization. And she was sharing the other day with me how she had been very dissatisfied with her last promotion. But she didn't negotiate. She didn't think that there was room for negotiation. They told her, you know, this is your new salary. And two or three days later, there was a position parallel to hers opened, and she, by chance, got copied on an email where the bosses were discussing how much that person had asked for and how much they had for that position. And she found out that the person had asked for a lot more than she was making, and she was just being hired, this new person. So she very courageously walked to her boss's boss and said, I saw this email, and this is how much I'm making, and I want this to be matched. And their bosses were very uncomfortable that they had let that slip, they matched her salary, and they said, we're really sorry, we'll get it done. And within a week, she got that raise that she wanted. But see what it took for her to open her eyes and realize that when somebody gives you an offer, that's all it is. It's an offer.
Mm-hmm. I think the other piece of it too, though, so many of us women, and by the way, this is an attribute that we really use to our advantage many times, and that is we look so much for the joint win-win solution with parity.
Yep.
And so on the other hand, though, when it's this is what I want and I'm not going to budge and we got to do it, that causes us, and we need to get in an out-of-body experience, probably just as much, and I don't want to be totally stereotypical, for some men to adopt a more softer approach to relationship building, right? It's a dance both ways.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the great things about having more women climb up the corporate ladder and, you know, the positions of power throughout all types of organizations and industries is that hopefully they're going to change the way in which business is conducted. And one of my pet peeves is that the women who are making it, the few women who are making it, you know, those that 3%, 4% that you see as, you know, company, corporation CEO or on the board of corporations and so forth, they are adapting way too much as they climb to the culture already in place. And therefore, as they get to the new position, they resemble very much the style of the males who have been in that position forever. So when they don't impact enough the culture and the, where they're working, the people who are coming behind them continue to have the same difficulty climbing. So this characteristics that you were mentioning that we have as women that make so make them so successful in those corporations who have more women as executives, and they, you know, the numbers also show that they do much better productively. They have a lot of women as executives. Hopefully, we will be using a lot more these traits of win-win situation, building consensus, understanding the other party so that you can come up with a negotiation that makes sense for everybody. And men are going to pick up some of these traits.
Absolutely.
With a wonderful, I don't know if you read the wonderful article on Time Magazine this week, The Last Politicians, by
yes.
Jay Newton Small, mm-hmm. about the 20 women in the Senate who actually arrange it so that the government could be opened again.
Exactly. And that's the approach and the style that gets those kind of things to resolve. We're speaking with Mariella Daba, and her book is Find Your Inner Red Shoes. And also go out to redshoemovement.com to understand what else she's stirring up out there. Mariella, part of our conversation, of course, is really to help not just specific genders and even not just specific generations with the knowledge that you're sharing, because obviously to help those coming up, it takes us impacting those who can make the way for them or pull them forward. What's been the reaction to your book then from individuals from the Latino environment versus those who come from other cultures perhaps, as well as cross-generational reactions?
It's very interesting because the Red Shoe Movement, which was always called in English, Red Shoe Movement, we never had a movement in Spanish, came together with a book in Spanish, and the movement immediately crossed cultures and languages and ethnicities and generations. So to both for the reaction to the book and to the movement and to the signature events that we do, we have one coming up in New York, November 5th. It has been amazing because we have a proprietary methodology that we use across everything, the platforms, the events, the book, and it's about mutual empowerment. Mm-hmm. And that's where we bridge the gaps between genders and generations and levels of expertise in your careers and whatnot. So it's very empowering for young women who are starting and for executive women who are up there, and they still need to learn a lot new things from the newer generation.
You bet.
So I've been lucky that I really tapped into this need from all different levels and ages.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I comment on your title of your book is Find Your Inner Red Shoes. So this idea that this is something from the inside out, not the outside in. And, mm-hmm. you know, back to our comment earlier about dressing the part and whether that means physically what you put on or how you behave in meetings. I can recall early in my career in the automotive industry, again, being one of the very few women that had the opportunities or grabbed the opportunities to go where I did. And like one day waking up and looking in my closet and saying, yuck, I don't want to wear these business suits with custom shirts and at that time little bow ties, you know. I said, I'm going back. Where's my dresses? And I went and had three or four tailor dresses made, and by the way, different type of shoes as well. And you know what? I just walked into the room a different way, nonetheless, and also got compliments from all sides. But it really was more about where was I from the inside out? Because I think certainly us, quote, playing the game or wanting to fit in is an important part, regardless of what the institution's like. But to understand that maintaining our own identity, and I think that comes through strongly in your book here as well, is at the beginning of the day, not the end of the day, starting with who you are and who you want to be. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful to hear you, because I think you're getting to the core of the book. Mm-hmm. which is, it really all starts with you and ends with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to be now, as I present, I've been presenting the content of the book in many, many places. And I'm going to start with a slide that says, caution, this is not for everyone.
That's right, that's right.
Because it's true. It's like not everybody is ready to do that kind of internal work.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody can do it for you. My suggestion for people who work in companies of all different sizes, it's a great book to have a book to organize a book club around. And we actually have a facilitator's guide because we do a program, a full-fledged program with corporations, so that people are meeting every other week to discuss, you know, specific things of the book, one chapter at a time. But if you have a group of friends, get the book, sit together, and do it together, because you need the feedback and the sounding board from
sure.
somebody else to help you build your, to figure out first, what are those messages that you're going to need to change? What's affecting you in your career in a negative way? What's affecting you in a positive way so you can, you know, ramp those up? And then start figuring out, where do you want to go? How do you change messages and create new ones for yourself? How do you plan? How do you create your brand? How do you learn to negotiate? And all of those things are much better done with a group than just sitting by yourself at home. So you'll do part of it at home, your introspection, and then you get together with a group of people that you trust,
yes,
with
exactly.
whom you can have a back and forth.
And I think you're right, too. This idea is some of the biggest members of the group you have to contend with are the voices in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you retire them? You know, the use of your thoughts, find your inner red shoes, Mariella, in this whole career side is interesting. I'm struck by a story. One of my clients who, by the way, when we first met, she walked into my office wearing a pair of red stilettos. Don't you love it? And,
love it.
And in fact, she commented, she says, oh, but I only wear these on certain days. I said, really, tell me about that. And then as we talked more about what her career was all about, she had, in her mind, she let slip that she also really loved the theater, and she had always aspired at one point to go to Juilliard and study acting. And here she was in a very different type of career. And I said, well, that's okay. You can certainly use that to your advantage when you interview. And she
right.
looked at me. She was horrified. She says, I would never let anyone know that I was involved in the theater. And she'd been in this one organization for 10 years and not told anyone. No one knew that side of her. And I shared with her the thought that she was partitioning herself and not taking full advantage of it. And so, lo and behold, you know, fast forward, it took a year, but she now is very gainfully in a new engagement, enjoying, you know, quote, out of the closet, being involved in theater
right.
and the like, and bringing her whole self into our company. And for our leaders that are listening, that's also what I think, Mariella, your message, my message is, shame on us if we're not allowing and enabling that to happen. Whether
Absolutely.
It's whether it's Red Shoe Tuesday or not, right?
Absolutely, because, you know, in the end, your company is paying you because they want your ideas. They want your thoughts. They want your creativity. They want your whole. If you, they only want another clone of whoever's
right.
already there, they won't hire you. So I think that if you get a lot of pushback, then you might need to reconsider where you work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a lot of it is us giving ourselves permission to carry our style, and the style is not just in clothing, but it's
yes,
your style yes. of everything, of managing, of leading, of carrying out other groups. It's your style as a person, because we've been, and I think that's what we all need to unite behind, that we need to give permission to the people who are under us, too, to bring their style to work. Yes, of course, every company has a different culture, and you need to respect that, and you need to find a middle ground where you're not offending others with what you're doing, but it's a question of a two-way, teaching them that this part of you needs to be embraced, too, because then you'll be more engaged with your work,
right.
and you'll be more productive, which is what your company wants, and then there'll be less rotation.
And that goes the same for any of the nonprofit or philanthropic things or volunteer things you do on the outside.
Absolutely.
And oh, by the way, you both and I would both say, too, that the next generations coming up, whether you call them the millennial, even younger than that, guess what, folks? They're all bringing that with them anyways, and you're not going to be able to spell it. Well, Mariella, thank you so much. Again, my guest has been Mariella Daba. Her book is Find Your Inner Red Shoes. You can find out more about her activities at the Red Shoe Movement. Mariella, real quick, you've got an activity coming up here in New York. You said November 4th, was it?
No, November 5th, MetLife. And if you want to attend, you need to register because we only take buy-sell tickets online, so there are no walk-ins. And you can find the information on redshoemovement.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Everything across platform is Red Shoe Movement.
That's right, and get the red shoes on Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us, and have
Thank
a great
you.
Weekend.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.